Thank you for joining Victory Center Church's Pastor Charlie today. We hope you're blessed from today's message. If you would like to know more about Victory Center, please go to victorycenter.org for more information. Enjoy the message. I know breakthrough is coming. By faith,
I see a miracle. Ephesians chapter 6. Last Wednesday night, we shared on you from the viewpoint when we finished up resisting temptation and give you an example, how to resist temptation. And actually going to continue on that line again tonight. But in the meantime, I want to give you just a little review up until that particular session and just put your minds in remembrance by stirring them up. And so let's begin in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to begin reading to you in verse 10. Now, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, I want you to catch that. Finally, my brethren, talking to us as Christian people, we're to be strong in the Lord. We're not admonished to be weak in the Lord. We're admonished to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, we haven't emphasized a lot about the whole armor of God, but that is important. And the purpose of that is being strong in the armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let's bow our heads just for a moment. Father, we come into your presence in the powerful name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We declare that your plan and that your will be done in the earth tonight. It will be done in this service. It will be done in the people's lives that are here and in the people's lives that are viewing online. Your will be done. And Father, may your kingdom come, the rule of God, the government of God, the authority of God come here in the earth tonight. And Father, there, see the polls going on, may there be a sense of the presence of God there at the event tonight. May the youth and the leaders there and who all is attending, adults through youth, just sense the presence of God, and there may there all be a sense of patriotism there in relationship to standing strong for America. And Father, we would declare that you would confirm your word again with signs and wonders following. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, once again, I'll quote verse 10 to you or read it either one. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now, so you and I have a commission. We're going to be strong in the Lord. And it's much easier to say I'm going to be strong or tell someone else to be strong than actually walk it out. And that's where the challenge comes, is walking out some of these truths and some of these principles. And then we put on the whole armor of God. After we're strong, we put on the whole armor of God that we're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, we've been sharing with you, wiles is another, we get, it's a Greek word, we get our word method from it, methodia. And the definition of that, I like Thayer's lexicon there, is the devil has a settled plan. He's got a plan, it's just not just kind of haphazard, but he has a plan, a settled plan that involves deceit, trickery, and craftiness, and to defeat us. And that settled plan is always the way just to bring us down. It's just his plan. He's planned out. Now, God has a plan that he's planned out for us also, that we be more than conquerors through him, and that we'll be strong and that we're able to resist the devil's plan. Now, I'm going to define to you, I do this pretty regular here lately, but resist, and I give you kind of a lengthy definition of it. Within that lengthy definition is one I like the best. And if we're going to resist something, we act against it. We strive against it. We oppose it. Then we're going to oppose what the devil is doing. We're going to act against it. And I like what it actually closes with, to strive or resist something successfully. Now then, if we're going to actually resist the adversary and his plan, we're going to be successful at it. Now here's a part that I left out. I left it out on purpose because I wanted to emphasize it. We resist the adoption of a plan. We resist adopting it. Now there's times that you and I are going to come in our journey and following Jesus. I've come to know it as a fork in the road. A why would be a better terminology, because we could keep going or take a why. The devil's plan, adopting his plan, we would take a why off of the course that God has already destined for us to pursue. But we want to resist that. We want to pursue the things of God, and when we resist him steadfast in faith, 1 Peter chapter 5, we resist him steadfast in the faith, we become successful at resisting what the adversary is actually wanting to do. Now, the word we get from that, to stand again, to resist, and the synonyms would be withstand or defy. Just, we're going to defy what the devil is wanting to do. And really, I've been made aware of that here over the past 30 days more than ever, and really the last couple of weeks more than ever. But God has a plan to destroy people. And sometimes, that God doesn't have a plan to destroy people. I was just getting ready to quote a verse of Scripture, so pardon me on the misquote there. The devil has a plan to destroy people. But the Bible says, and I've been reminded of this here, especially lately, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all of those that were oppressed of the devil. Now see, that's God's plan. And kind of like Alexander Dowie, he was so frustrated in pastoring and his people were dying, and finally got it in study, and the Lord brought this verse to him, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all of those that was oppressed of the devil. And the challenging part is, if I'm being attacked or if I'm being oppressed, is to successfully resist his plan. It's easy to start out resisting his plan. And then we shared with him James chapter 1, how we become double-minded. We become tossed to and fro. It says we won't receive anything from God. And so it's really important to stay strong in resisting him. Now, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of James and let me review there just a little bit, and then we will continue on. Now, I think most of you remember we shared with you from the book of Luke and chapter 16, verse 16, and you can remember that, just 16:16. And the kingdom of God the law and the prophets was until John, and since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And that when we press into something, it actually takes a little bit of effort. And I shared with you from Mount's translation, the law and the prophets were unto John, and since that time the good news of the kingdom. Now, the good news of the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone, this is what I like from that translation, takes vigorous steps to enter into it. And we must be aggressive. It's really challenging for passive faith to hardly receive anything from God. Have you found the book of James chapter 1? Now, he starts out talking about we're counting it all joy when we fall into different kinds of temptations or testing here means. And he doesn't define or divide it too much here in these first, actually four verses. But we follow through here and he starts dividing the difference between a test and a temptation. Something that the devil is doing to destroy and something that God is doing. And I'll read verse 17 to you, because he wants to kind of get everybody's thinking straightened out here in the church he's ministering to, James being the senior pastor. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now let's look at this verse just briefly. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? We would say it comes from God, it's from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights. Now then, that which is good to us is coming from God. There's no variableness. There's no shadow of turning in Him. It's coming from the Father. Now, we know then that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's addressing this here in a few verses of Scriptures, and I'm going to begin reading to you in actually verse 13. Now, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now, it says pretty plainly here, God doesn't tempt you. Now, God does test us. He does prove us. And learning to differentiate between the two sometimes is challenging. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. Now, how does a man become tempted? When he's drawn away of his own lust. And lust is defined as any strong desire that is inconsistent with the Word of God. Any strong desire that is inconsistent with the Word of God. Then when our lust, our senses, our flesh become pulled so strongly, then that's what causes the temptation to begin to take place. And now when it's conceived or when it's carried out, when it's conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. And then he says, do not err, beloved brethren. Every good gift comes from where? Every good, and he says, perfect gift comes from above, cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, nor the shadow of turning. Now, turn with me to the book of Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, and this has been one of our foundation scriptures, and I'll read it to you, and then we'll begin to pick up and go just a little further than we did last Wednesday night. Now, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. God is faithful. I like to personally remember the part, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to begin reading to you I'd like to take just a little time and start at verse 4, and I believe I will this evening. For if God, now he's talking about judgment coming, and just did it lingered and lingered, or saying lingered and lingered, and put all, but then it came, it lingered not. At time run out. And then it says, for God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness. They're bound right now tonight while we're having church. Chains of darkness. And they're bound there for one purpose, and that is judgment. Now, from our standpoint, that has been a long time. But they're still there. And he spared not the old world, but he saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly. and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. In the end, it doesn't pay to live ungodly. It becomes a lifestyle. Now, verse 7, this is where I really wanted to pick up. We're talking about he knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, or he makes a way out. God is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear, because he will empower you or invigorate you. He delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Now let's go over that verse again. He delivered just Lot, or righteous Lot, but Lot was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Now, I'm sure you remember the example. I may have it here. Yes, I do. That I give you as we close last Wednesday night on, you know, just a practical aspect, a man's part to stay out of temptation. I'm going to read it to you. It won't take very long. I walk down the street and there's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I'm lost. I'm helpless. Hopeless. It takes me forever to find my way out. Number two, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole. I fall in, but it's not my fault. But it still takes me a long time to get out. You know, it takes a little while to break habits sometimes. Three, I'm walking down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it is still there. I see it, but I still fall in. Now, probably you've never experienced that in your life, resisting temptation. It's become a habit. My eyes are open. It is my fault, and I get out immediately now. He's beginning to get understanding. Then I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the street, and I walk around it. Then the last one, I walk down a different street. Now, that's real amen there. Now, so he's delivered just Lot. Now, verse 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now, it was just actually probably about a week ago. You know, I probably shouldn't say this in front of everybody, but because I'm not about Facebook, but I do have a Facebook account. Now, you are not going to find it under Charles Mendenhall. I have an alias, and I have a different picture on it. It is for the purpose that I wanted to get just a little bit of videos on roping from an instructor. That is the purpose. And so it's worked really well till recent times, really well. I don't know how it happens. But anytime I get something on Facebook, I know it would be from Chad Mathis. And I click on it. But started out being very suggestive. No nudity, but it was suggestive. How they do that, I have no clue, because I sure didn't pull up anything like that. And now it looks like I'm just going to have to delete Facebook, even though I thought I had it made, different alias, different picture. I was a black man, etc. But I was showing Margaret something I'd got on there. Now, it wasn't even suggesting. But it was interesting. And we'd been teaching on 1 Peter 5 about the devil walketh round like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so this was a lion attacking people. Kind of gross, I understand that. But just a little bit into that, we couldn't watch it anymore. It is something about it, just what we were hearing and seeing vexed our souls. Now, I just come. Now, I know this sounds a little rough, and you think what you want. But I told you, you know, some of these things, and I click, and that did come up the other, the suggestive part. And just went on down the road. We didn't want to watch that. But that other, and Margaret and I talked about it, it affected us negatively by far than just a glimpse of the other that was suggestive. And we didn't watch it. There are things in the world that is going to vex you. What you see and what you hear. Now, personally, I don't like to be around people that swear or use God's name in vain. It does something to me. And I definitely don't like to be around people that use the F word all the time. That is more, affects me more negative than even the other. Just probably the way I'm put together. And so I have a choice either somehow to try to block that out or distance myself from that. So then now I have a choice in resisting the devil's plan or adopting the devil's plan. So now what am I going to do? Am I going to just adopt the devil's plan and keep going down that road? Or am I going to resist the devil's plan and not adopt his plan? So Lot here, what's he going to do? Now God is able to deliver out of temptation. What he was hearing and what he was seeing was vexing him. Now it's interesting what some of the other translations have here. Just some have, it's kind of mild, use the word annoy, and some of the really are much stronger than that. But so now what is going to happen with Lot in getting away from this? And it's interesting to me because Peter injects Lot's deliverance right in with what talks about Noah's deliverance, but the others weren't delivered. And it gives just a little bit of, I would call, information into Lot's situation that we will look at in just a moment. So let me finish verse 8 again. For that righteous man dwelling among them. Now, what kind of man was Lot? Where was he living? Where was he dwelling? Right among them. Living right in the midst of it. But the things he saw and the things he heard vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. I mean, just every day, every day, every day, his soul was vexed. Now, how does Amplified render that verse of Scripture? Let me read that. For the just man living, I'm surprised the Amplified doesn't declare him as a righteous man, there among them, tortured his righteous soul every day with what he saw and heard of their unlawful and wicked deeds. Now his soul was vexed. No peace. Now, verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Now, do you kind of now remember a tad what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says? God is faithful. He will provide a way out. He will not allow you to be suffered beyond what you're able to bear. Now, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now, God knows how to deliver the just or the righteous person out of temptation. Now, then he's speaking to you and I. We're righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, turn with me to Genesis chapter 19, and we're going to look at a little bit of the setting that Lot was living in. And you know, it's a lot like different almost situations today, depending on kind of where you're at, but it's kind of a, the immoralities is pretty rough, and what is going on is just not right. So Genesis chapter 19, and I was looking for this pencil all evening, and there it was in Genesis 19. Genesis chapter 19. Now, two angels come to Sodom to see if it's really a wicked city. And Lot rose up and met them and showed respect to them. And we'll stay in the street. But Lot pressed on them to come into his house and to stay in the house for the evening. And I'm going to begin reading to you in verse 4. Now, this is Genesis 19. I'm going to pick up and read to you in verse 4. But before they lay down, even before they went to bed, now listen what happens. Before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed, that means they circled the house, round both old and young, all the people from every quarter. I mean, this just wasn't a handful of people coming around the house. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. That means have sexual kind of perversion with them. Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not be so wicked or do so wickedly. Behold now, just this is kind of hard for me to really grasp. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. In other words, two virgins, never had sex with a man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Wow. Only unto these men do nothing. I mean, man, you can mess my daughters, but don't mess with these guys. For therefore they came under the shadow of my roof. Now you can kind of start to see the situation and circumstance that Lot was living in. And said, we can understand now why his soul was vexed with what he saw and heard. This is a pattern. This is not just some, you know, deal that just happened once in a while. This was the pattern of these men of Sodom. And this is why God rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah and just wiped it out. And they said, get out of the way. Or they actually said, King James. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee. And they're going to just handle Lot pretty rough here than with them. I mean, they're going to misuse him. Perversion. And they pressed sore upon the man Lot, even Lot, and came near to break the door. I mean, they came to get Lot. But the men put forth their hand, or the angels, and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Talk about goofy. I think I'd be calling the U-Haul in the middle of the night. Or not wait for the U-Haul, just throw what I could get in the trunk and go. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Here the angel now said to Lot, what does he say to the angel say to Lot? You need to move. Now, I'm going to put it on hold right here for a moment. And we were sharing with you sometimes resisting temptation says that we've got to go a different place, a different street. We can't continue to go down the same street and expect to be successful in resisting temptation. Now turn with me. This is a Wednesday night, so we can do this. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Now if we have time, we're going to come back here and finish a lot here in chapter 19. But turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read a couple verses of Scripture to you, maybe more than a couple, but I'm going to begin reading to you in verse 29. Matthew 5, 29. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Ouch. And cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Well, let me read that to you again. Now, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Cast it from thee. Now, listen to this, for it is not profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. Now, let me continue to read. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. Cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now, with those two verses of Scripture sandwiched in here between what Jesus was teaching, sometimes kind of leaves us hanging. Now, you know where we was at with Lot. Now, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It talks about, what did it talk about? The eye. And what else did it talk about? The hand. And it said to do what with it? If the eye or the hand was causing you problems, what were we to do with it? Pluck the eye out. What was it do to the hand? Cut it off. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he uses our physical body as an example or analogy of the body of Christ. Now, the two angels have just told Lot, you need to move. Get out of Dodge, or you won't make it. Now, I'm going to begin reading to you. In actually verse 14. For the body is not one member, but it's many. Now kind of keep in mind what we read in Matthew chapter 5. Talked about different members. Yes, no, it's not profitable, etc. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body. If therefore not of the body, therefore it's not of the body. Is it therefore it's not of the body? Now what does it mention here in the verse 15? If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not of the eye, I'm not of the body. It is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if there were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Now, I'm going to quit reading there because of time keeps marching along here. But it talks about the different members of the body make up the whole body. Now then, he's talking about then in the body of Christ, someone out here that has a gift, that may be a teaching gift or maybe a serving gift, or maybe a giving gift that is mentioned in 12th chapter of Romans. And there we're all to work together to make up a whole body. Now what he is saying in Matthew chapter 5, if this hand out here has gone spastic and has no control or is not under authority, we're to cut it off. We cannot continually associate with that member that is rebellious and not affect us. That's what he said. It's better that one member perish than the whole body. As he talked about, name Philetus, Miletus, and some of these, Alexander the coppersmith, he said, they're like a cancer that's eating. He said, you've got to cut them off. And so he's not talking about literally cutting my hand off. I can cut my hand off and still have all kinds of problems. Now, I know that I have had to disassociate with certain people over the course of years, and I'm talking about spiritually, because they were a bad influence on me. And if I would continue to associate with them, then there's that downward trek, the way we go. Now, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. And I told Larry all of these would be in the King James Version, but this will not be in the King James. I'll read it to you in the King James, then I'll read it to you from the Amplified Translation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now I'll read that to you from the Amplified Translation. Do not be deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion, associations corrupt and deprave good manners, morals, and character. Now let's read that again. Do not be deceived and misled. Evil companionships, or I would word it this way, wrong companionships, communion, associations, corrupt and deprave good manners, morals, and character. Now, what is this, was it saying about Lot in 2 Peter? He was vexed, what he saw and he heard. And then here, under that situation, he saw the setting, read pretty gross situation. And the angel said, you're going to have to get out of this town. And it's for your own good, and it's for your own sake. Now, while we're along that line, let's turn to the book of Proverbs, and you might hold your... I'll probably come back to the book of Genesis, but I'll read to you from Proverbs chapter 13, and I'm going to read verse 20, probably read 14 and 7. Now, here we go in Proverbs 13, verse 20. Now, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Now, we're talking about companions. Fits right into Corinthians 15, 33. Talks about all fits in with Lot and situation. Now, listen to the last part of this, verse. But a companion of fools shall be what? Destroyed. That's why Matthew said, cut off that member in the body of Christ. Not talking about cutting off my hand literally, but it's talking about cutting off a member in the body of Christ. It's not talking about plucking up my eyelid, or it's talking about, hey, pluck somebody out of your life that is really a bad influence. He said, well, we're to walk in love. That is true. But after a while, if you're not influencing them, they're influencing you. He said, quit it. If we want to be wise, what do? Who do we hang around? Wise men. And then the last part of that verse, but a companion of fools is what? It's destroyed. Now, I'll read 14:7. Go from the presence of a foolish man. Cut it off. Go from the presence of a foolish man. When thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. See, this is what 1 Corinthians 15:33 is saying to us. This is what Matthew chapter 5 is saying to us. And now we're finding it walked out how Lot was delivered in Genesis chapter 19. So let's turn there again. Now, what you are hearing is going to affect what you believe. And what you are hearing is going to affect the way you act. Now, Genesis chapter 19 again. Genesis chapter 19, a very kind of not a really amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus chapter. Now, verse 12 was where we left off. Now the angels smote the men with blindness, and they still kept trying to find the door because they wanted them two new guys that come to town. Pretty gross. And the men said unto him, or the angel said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law? Do you have any son-in-law? And thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in this city, bring them out of this place. Now this is the reason we're going to destroy this place. Because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Now this is where Abraham also intercedes. That it wouldn't be destroyed. They couldn't even find 10 righteous. Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Wow. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city. There's a time we got to get away from iniquity. Now, it's interesting to me, in Peter's account of this, he lists the judgment that comes first. And then how Lot was saved. And how Noah was saved. That's Noah actually first. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife, and at the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and then brought him forth and set him without the city. They told him to go to the mountains. Lot says, I can't get that far. Let me go here to one of these cities. And the Lord said, okay, I won't destroy this city for your sake where you're going. And I'm going to begin reading to you in verse 23 now. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. This is the city he went to. He didn't go ahead and go to the mountains. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, looked here isn't just like, hey, we'll see what's good. But it's look with a lingering, a desire to go back into that lifestyle. Be around that spirit. Now, when you understand here what he's saying, you understand now why sometimes when you're ministering deliverance to people and trying to break a pattern that's really a stronghold, there's a spirit, something about it, that they become to like that spirit and that atmosphere that they've been around. And so they look back to that old way of life, but man, I really kind of like that lifestyle. And then you know what happened? You're going to be drawn right back into it. And she turned into a pillar of salt. Then it talks about Abraham, you know, he got stands before God and the overthrow. But here, it's kind of amazing. And it came to pass when the God destroyed the cities of the plain, I'm in verse 29, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities which Lot dwelt. I mean, when you think and understand something about a covenant-keeping God, God had kept covenant with Abraham. And because of that covenant, he spared Lot. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in the cave, he and his two daughters. Now, this gets a little gross also. The two daughters decide, hey, now there's no descendants. I'll tell you what I'll do. We'll get our dad Lot drunk, and I'll sleep with him tonight because we don't have any descendants. Now, this is what the Bible says. And the Bible says, now you read it, it says Lot didn't even know when she came in, and he didn't even know when she left. My terminology, he was drunk as a skunk, if a skunk can get drunk. And then the plan was then the younger daughter went in the next night and says the same. Lot didn't even know anything about it. That seems a little foreign to me. But the Bible said he didn't even know. And it talks about they both bear children. Now, God knows how to deliver the just or the godly out of temptation. Now, this is what I would call a pretty drastic type of situation. Actually involved moving. Now, I could give you several examples of men and women, both that I know, that had to change jobs because of the situation that was there where they worked. It just got where it was just kind of sin city. And the influence just became disgusting to them. It vexed their righteous soul what they saw and what they heard. It was just disgusting. Now, I think you all know what it is like to see something that is not right and it's disgusting. And I think, on the other hand, you probably know what it's like to see something that's a little titillating. But then we resist adopting the devil's plan. We resist adopting his plan. Now, turn up to the book of James again. James chapter 1. Now, this is James the Just. I'll read verse 12 to you. Now, blessed is the man that endures temptation, or we would say resists temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Then he goes on to say, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. God can't be tempted with evil. We're tempted when we're drawn away of our own lust, something that is inconsistent with the Word of God. Now then it says, blessed is the man then that resists temptation. And then the end result of the man that resists temptation is, he's going to receive what? A crown of life. Now notice it doesn't say a crown of life in heaven. Man, you're going to get life now, which the Lord hath promised to all them. They maybe took that down just a tad quick because some might not be following in the scripture. Which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Well, do you love him? Absolutely. That's here now. God's going to bless you with life, the God kind of life, blessings forevermore, plus eternal life. See, Deuteronomy chapter 8, he said he proved them that he might do them good at the latter end. And it always pays to resist temptation. You know, I think you've heard the saying, you can't stop the birds from flying overhead, but you can keep them from building a nest. Now, you and I may not be able to keep thoughts and et cetera from coming, but we can keep them from lodging here and building a nest. And where it talked about, where we read to, it didn't dwell on a lot, but did when it conceived. Conception takes place, then it brings forth things that are not good. But it also talks about the conception of the Word of God. Then it brings forth life. So turn to someone and say, bless God, I'm going to resist temptation. Amen. Hallelujah. I read verse 12 to you one more time. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. Man, you resist temptation, you're going to be a blessed man. He's trying to receive the crown of life. That's the Lord had promised all them to love him. Now, I'm kind of out of time tonight, but I was going to go to Genesis chapter 49 and show you the outward blessings upon Joseph as a result of him resisting temptation. Even though he was accused unjustly, lied about, he still resisted temptation. The blessings are almost unbelievable that came on him. But he kept resisting. He didn't adopt the devil's plan. Now we're going to adopt God's plan. Amen.
You were listening to Pastor Charlie from Victory Center Church. We hope you are blessed by today's message. If you would like more information, please go to victorycenter.org. Thanks and be blessed.